Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
I'm continuing to deal with the subject of adversity, dealing with the valleys that we go through in life, tough times, whatever you want to call it, life's difficulties. We know that we all go through them from time to time. And today I want to speak to you on the subject of how to respond to adversity. How to respond to adversity. And by now, if you have lived the Christian life for any length of time, you understand that you cannot control always what happens to you in life. Today, I want you to know that there are at least three ways that we can respond to adversity. Look at Hebrews 12. Let's start in Hebrews 12. The book of Hebrews gives us three possible ways that we can respond to adversity. Number one, we can despise what is happening to us. We can despise what's happening to us. Now, I'm going to talk more about that word despise in a moment, but look please at Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Hebrews 12 and verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now, circle that word despise there in Hebrews 12 verse 5 and maybe write off in the margin of your Bible. That word means to have little regard for the adversity. In other words, to treat the adversity lightly as if it is no big deal. In other words, it's going through adversity and missing the whole point of what you are experiencing. I've said it before, but I want to say it again. God never does anything without purpose. Do you believe that this morning? God never does anything without purpose. Sometimes He brings adversity into our lives. Sometimes He allows adversity in our lives. But either way, He is the one who gives permission. We studied last week, Job chapter 1, and we saw how before anything happens to us in our lives as believers, we know that it has passed through the hands of God. God's in control, folks, and whatever is happening in your life today, I want you to know God has a purpose for it. Amen. So our goal should be to discover that purpose and to learn something from what God is allowing us to go through. Don't become callous to what God is trying to accomplish in your life. The Bible says, despise not what God is doing in your life. If you're going through some deep valleys, if the storms are raging in your life right now, don't waste that moment. Allow God to accomplish His divine purpose in your life. Despise not. Number two, there's a second way that many of us respond, and that is we can become discouraged and want to quit. Have you ever felt like you just want to quit? Sure, we've all been there. We've all come to that place where we feel like we're between a rock and a hard place. We're hitting a wall that we cannot get beyond. You see, that's the idea behind that word faint in Hebrews 12 and verse 5. Notice that word faint. In other words, we're being challenged here to throw in the towel. And God is saying to us through His Word, don't throw in the towel. Don't quit, even though at times the adversity that you're going through challenges you to push you to your limit to where you just want to quit. He's saying, faint not. We tend to get discouraged when adversity comes in waves. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. I don't know about you, but I, generally speaking, can handle maybe one adversity. Maybe two adversities at once. But when adversity comes in waves, in other words, it just comes one after the other, That's when we tend to get depressed. That's whenever we get down and discouraged and we just want to quit. Some of you are no doubt experiencing some of those waves of adversity in your life right now. You say, oh, preacher, if it was just one thing, I could handle it. If it was just one thing, I believe I can get through this, but it's just one thing after the other. It's the old adage, when it rains, it what? It pours, and we have that adversity one after the other. But God says, I don't want you to quit. I don't want you to quit. Continue to hope in God. Continue to trust in God. We're going to talk more about that in a moment. But one of the ways that we can respond to adversity is to despise it. Number two is to faint or to get discouraged and want to quit because of the adversity we're going through. But look again at Hebrews chapter 12, because we can endure the adversity and become better Christians. I want you to see that in verse 7, Hebrews 12, verse 7. If ye what? What's the word? Endure chastening. God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Drop down to verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, notice that, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, this is what I would call the right response, even though it is not always the easiest response, right? Our tendency is to despise what we're going through. Why do I have to go through this? I don't understand why I'm going through this. Or we get to the place where we want to faint. We just want to quit. We want to drop out, throw in the towel, say enough is enough. But here we are admonished by the author of Hebrews to endure. Endure. In other words, this is not going to be easy, but here is the right response. No matter what you're going through in life right now, God is in the process of molding you and shaping you. Like a parent, He is trying to teach us what we cannot learn any other way. Do you realize you learned more in the moments of adversity than in the moments of joy? When you're up on the mountaintop experiencing the blessings of life, our tendency is to not learn a whole lot of spiritual lessons. But when life gets difficult, when the road gets bumpy, that's whenever we learn what God is trying to teach us. You see, the road that leads to being like Jesus is paved with suffering. It's paved with suffering. Often we say, oh, I want to be like Jesus. And we do want to be like Jesus. But I want you to know that the road to becoming more like Jesus is paved with suffering. It's paved with adversity and tough times. Life is not easy. And God has never promised that it would be easy. Instead, He has promised to be with us. He has promised to give us the strength that we need. He's promised that His grace is sufficient. God is at work in your life. And if you're going to be spiritually complete, if you're going to be a spiritually mature believer in Christ, you cannot avoid moments of adversity and moments of suffering. So how should you and I respond to the adversity that we're facing in our lives right now? If you're going through a tough time in your life right now, don't raise your hand. You know who you are. I am praying that the Holy Spirit will use this message to speak to your heart today. I know that, again, in a size of a congregation like this, there are always some people that are going through some valleys in life. I want you to really listen up. Here are four ways that I believe we ought to respond when we are going through adversity in our lives. Number one, write it down. We ought to look to God in prayer. We ought to look to God in prayer. If you are going through adversity right now, I want you to know the answer is not within you. The answer is not even around you. The answer is in God. And God wants us to look to Him in prayer. Sometimes we use prayer for the wrong reasons. We usually pray and ask God to change our difficult situation. For instance, we might say, Lord, please remove this out of my life. Lord, please deliver me from this suffering or this adversity. But I have found, as I have said over and over again to you, and you may think that I sound like a broken record at this point, but I've had to learn this personally in my life. God is more interested in changing us than He is in changing our circumstances. Prayer. When you pray, prayer is really more about God changing you than changing whatever is going on in your life. Don't think a prayer is a way of going to a Coke machine and putting a quarter in and pushing a button and getting what you want. Sometimes you do pray for things and God gives it to you. But I guess that many of you like me have prayed for a lot of things that God did not give you. And sometimes you're able to look back and say, oh, I'm so thankful He didn't give me what I asked for. Sometimes we have to understand that prayer really is about God changing us more than God changing our adverse circumstances. Our immediate response to adversity should be to look to God and to pray that He will use the adversity to change us for His honor and for His glory. Luke 18, verse 1 says, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to what? Not to faint. If you are about to just throw in the towel and give up, I want you to spend time in prayer with God. You say, well, I've prayed and nothing has changed. Pray and see if God changes you. Maybe your circumstance may not change through prayer, but when God changes you, you're able to get through that adversity and that adverse circumstance that you're going through. You see, prayer is ultimately about God changing us, not God changing our situation. Don't lose heart. Don't get discouraged, but seek God's face, seek God's will, spend time in prayer, and God will strengthen you and change you for His honor and His glory. So, number one way to respond, if you're going through adversity today, look to God in prayer. Number two, lean on the promises of God. Lean on the promises of God. When everything around you is falling apart, it's good to lean on the promises of God. Amen? I'm reminded of what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, what is that verse saying? It's saying if God says something, you can count on it. If God promises that He's going to do something, then He's going to keep His promise. When all else fails, we must stand on the promises of God. God's promises give us what I call a solid foundation for life. How do you go from tears to triumph, from confusion to celebration, from sadness to singing, from pain to praise? How do you go from one to the other? Well, you get a glimpse of God and who He is, and you remember what all He has promised to you, and then suddenly your perspective begins to change. I want you to go with me to Psalm 13. Go all the way back to the Old Testament. I want to show you something. The psalmist David had to do this on more than one occasion. He had to look to God in prayer, and he had to lean on the promises of God. And some of the psalms, as you well know, when you read them, they start on what I would call an emotionally low note, and they end on an emotionally and spiritually high note. How does the psalmist go from here to here? Generally speaking, when you read those psalms and they start on a low note where the psalmist might be asking why God, how long God, how does he go from that to suddenly praising God? Somewhere in the middle of that psalm, he gets his focus on God. And when you begin to get a glimpse of God and what He's trying to accomplish in your life, you will go from tears to triumph, from confusion to celebration, from sadness to singing, and from pain to praise. Look at Psalm 13. The psalmist David says, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord?" Have you ever felt like God's just completely forgotten where you live and what's going on in your life? He says, "Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have," notice that "but," that conjunction that you have there, "but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Now notice that the psalmist has several emotions going through him. Number one, there in verse one, he feels what? Forgotten. Again, have you ever felt forgotten? You say, "God, have you forgotten what is going on in my life?" And then notice also in verse 41, he says, "How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" In other words, he feels forsaken. He feels forgotten. He feels forsaken. Look at verse 2. He feels frustrated. You ever felt frustrated? Just really frustrated with life and what is going on in your life. And then notice verse 2, he feels like a failure. I'm here to tell you, I have felt just like what the psalmist has felt. Forgotten, forsaken, frustrated, felt like a failure in life. You ever been there? I know some of you are way too spiritual, amen. Take your halo off and put it in your back pocket. Let's be real just for a minute, all right? Life is not easy. Life is full of adversity. Tough times are a part of life. And sometimes we feel just like the psalmist felt. I am so glad that the psalmist just sort of lays it out there and tells you exactly how he feels. Because when I read it, I go, that's me. That's the way I feel from time to time. Forgotten, forsaken, frustrated. Like a failure. But then notice in verse 3, his focus gets back on who God is. God is who? He's the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. What Hebrew word is that? Jehovah. Jehovah. Jehovah, that name emphasizes the promises that God has given to his people. He's God, that is Elohim, which emphasizes the power that he has. He is the one, the psalmist is saying here, that has made covenants with his people, and he has the power to keep those covenants. No doubt you have said a lot of things in your life that you later on did not have the ability to keep. You promise this, promise that, and then somewhere along the way you say, you know what? I really can't do that. I want you to know that God has never promised anything that he cannot do. God is Jehovah. He is the Lord who gives his people promises. And I want you to know he is Elohim. He has the power to keep every one of those promises that he has given to us. David is reminding the Jewish people here that God had told them, had promised them that the land was theirs. He had promised that they would become a great people. He had promised that through him, he would establish his kingdom forever. And even though the psalmist here was depressed about what was taking place in his life, David had to remind himself that he served a God who had made unconditional and eternal promises to him. One way that we can deal with adversity in our lives is to lean on the promises of God. I don't have time to go into all of this morning, but you can jot some of these down. Can I give you a few promises of God? Number one, we have the promise of his presence. We read about that in Hebrews 13 and verse 5. He's promised to never what? Leave us nor forsake us. No matter what is going on in your life today, I want you to know as a believer in Jesus Christ, God is with you. You may feel forgotten, you may feel forsaken, but I want you to know we don't have a God that's a million miles away. We have a God who is ever present. Amen. He is with us. Number two, we have the promise of His peace. John 14, verse 27 talks about that peace that only the Lord can give to us. Peace that passeth what? All understanding. When you don't understand what's going on in life, God and God alone can give you peace. Number three, there's the promise of His love. 1 John 4 and verse 10 talks about how He loves us. And we love Him because He first loved us. He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. I want you to know that no matter what you're going through in your life right now, God has not stopped loving you. God loves you. You say, I don't feel loved right now. Don't live your life by feelings. Live your life by the facts of God's Word, the truth of God's Word. And God says, I love you. I love you. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing that you can go through in life that'll make God stop loving you. There's the promise of His strength. Isaiah 26, verse 4, how He promised to give us strength to where we mount up with wings like eagles, being able to rise above the circumstances of life. He gives us strength when we are weak. The promise of His wisdom in James 1, verse 5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Wisdom comes from God. If you're confused and you don't know what the right answer is, and you just, folks, ask God. Spend time in prayer, and God will give you the strength and the wisdom that you need. There's the promise of His joy in 1 John 1 and verse 4. Our joy is not based upon our circumstances. Our joy is based upon the person of God and having God in our lives. You say, I'm not happy right now because of what I'm going through. Well, you haven't lost the Lord. He's still with you. And He's giving you strength, and He's giving you His grace, and He's giving you everything that you need. You ought to have joy in your heart and in your life because of the Lord. Amen. There's the promise of answered prayer. 1 John 5, verse 14. The Lord answers our prayer. Sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says not right now, but a little bit later. And then there's the promise of His grace in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. His grace saves us. His grace strengthens us. His grace sustains us. Oh, how we need His grace in our lives. Number one, we look to God in prayer. Number two, we lean on the promises of God. And then number three, we learn to be patient. He said, oh, I liked everything else up to that point. Patience, oh my. You're not going to talk about patience, are you? Yes, I am, just for a moment. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different kinds of temptations or the tests, the adversities, the valleys of life. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, the idea behind that word patience here is endurance. It's the same concept that we read about in Hebrews chapter 12, about how we need to endure. While trusting God patiently, we should endure the adversity that we're going through. Think about it, because it's through patience and endurance that we experience the greatest victories in life. It's through enduring and being patient. Psalm 40, verse 1 and 2, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. James here in James chapter 1 is teaching us to be patient because we know that God is at work in our lives and He's shaping us and forming us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. He's wanting to develop spiritual maturity in your life. So be patient with what God is doing in your life. Folks, nothing happens in our lives by accident. Everything happens by divine appointment. And even though you may wonder, If God is truly at work in your life, I want you to know He is. God is at work. That word perfect that we find here in James chapter 1 is the same Greek word that you find in Matthew 4 and verse 21, translated mending. Jesus comes and James and John, the Bible says, are mending their nets. Why do you mend? Why do fishermen mend their nets? Because there's holes in the nets. And so they have to mend the nets so that they can be what? More effective as fishermen, so that they can catch fish. God sees holes in our Christian lives, and He seeks to mend those holes by using adversity. Do you realize you will become a better Christian if you'll respond the right way when you go through times of adversity? You and I are like a spiritual net, and we're full of holes. Some have more holes than others, but we all have holes. And God's working on mending those holes so that we can be more effective and so that we can be spiritually mature Christians. God's at work mending your net. You say, I don't like it. It's painful. It's not fun to go through. But when you come out on the other side, you'll be a better person for it. And so be patient. Learn to be patient. Lastly, number four, and I close with this. We must lift our voice in praise. Now, this last response is difficult, but I believe it's necessary. It's a must. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Does the word everything mean even adversity and suffering? Yes, it does. Right? We are to give thanks in everything. That's why James says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. I wouldn't have a whole lot of joy if I believed in luck. You think about that. If life was all about luck and fate, I wouldn't have a whole lot of joy. I would feel actually hopeless. But knowing that God is in control, knowing that God doesn't make any mistakes, knowing that God is at work in my life right now, knowing that God is still sovereign, it causes me to smile in the midst of adversity and say, yet will I praise Him.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.